Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
All right. Welcome to Simchas Torah. Now, first thing I'll tell you, are we going here? Okay. Is that in Eretz Yisrael, Simchas Torah and Shmini Atzeres are the same day. There's a direct connection between the two, and we have to discuss that. Of course, here, as we know, because we are in more of a Golus, right? And therefore, we have Shmini Atzeres, right? Seventh day, and then we have an eighth day, we have Simchas Torah. Rather, an eighth and a ninth day. Shmini Atzeres and Simchas Torah. Okay? And the fact that Shmini Atzeres means the eighth, Shmini from the word Shmon, is also significant. Okay, so, okay, first of all, Simchas Torah, Shmini Atzeres rather, Shmini Atzeres is unique in that it combines the aspects of two different groups of holidays. On one hand, there is a certain idea that it is the final sealing of the year. In other words, you know, we start with Elul, right, contemplate, introspect, Cheshbon HaNefesh for the day of judgment, right, Rosh Hashanah. And then we have the 10 days of repentance, Asar Simei Tshuva, from Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, right? The books are open in Rosh Hashanah, and they're sealed on Yom Kippur. But the truth is, there's kind of a back door. If you didn't do Tshuva in those 10 days by Yom Kippur, there's a Hoshana Rabbah. Hoshana Rabbah has an aspect of judgment to it. That's the last day of Sukkot. And then, of course, Baruch Hu gives us a fourth chance, and that's Shmini Atzeres. Shmini Atzeres is like a final sealing of the year, okay? So, on one hand, you see that is the culmination of the days of awe, if you will, right? Or depending on how you get through them, it could be the awful days, right? And again, in conjunction with that, it is also the culmination of Sukkot. And that's why it's called Shmini Atzeres, the eighth day. So, right, it wraps up the 10 days of repentance, Yom Kippur. It gives us another chance for tshuva, culmination of that. And it's a culmination of Sukkot. Now, on Sukkot, Sukkot has a lot to do with the nations, the other nations, the Goyishan nations at large. We used to offer, when we had the temple, 70 bullocks, bulls, right? Always comes right back to Texas, doesn't it? Bulls, cows, you know, all that stuff. All right, so at any rate, we used to offer 70 bulls on behalf of the 70 nations of the world. There's 70 nations of the world. If there's more, they are basically subcategories, okay? And that was for their welfare. We offered these up, okay? And as a matter of fact, we'll have a Haftorah that talks about this, the Shaychus, the connection of Sukkot to the Ummas Olam, to the rest of the world. After that, after every day offering all those offerings on behalf of all the nations of the world, right, Sukkot is over, and a Kodesh Baruch Hu, so to speak, says, "It's your parting, my children, your parting is hard on me. Please remain one more day." That's how it's put. That Hashem is this relationship with us like children, that we come to visit Him at the temple, and we've been there, you know, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot, and now we're supposed to leave. He says, hang on one more day. Shmini Atzeres. That will be just you and I. This will be a special Hamish little Suda just between me and my special children. While the previous 7 days you were offering all these huge sacrifices, you know, the bullocks on behalf of all the nations, I tell you what, on this day, just offer one little cow, you know, one sheep, and just you and I, a small little Suda, but intimate. Because I'm going to miss you. I don't want you to leave quite yet. So that's the specialness of Shmini Atzeres is basically it shows the intimate bond between a Kodesh Baruch Hu and the Jewish people. And that's why it's Shmini. It's the eighth day, yes, because following 7 days of Sukkot, it's eight. But As you know, we've discussed, 8 is always representative of beyond the natural world. 7 is the completion of the natural, the perfection of the physical world, as in Shabbos being 7 days, right? And then there's a dimension beyond the natural, and that's where Israel kicks in. And that's what this year is going to be about. Beyond Teva, beyond nature, locking in to the miraculous. That's where Israel kicks in. That's Shmini Atzeret. It's the number 8, the Bris Milah, which symbolized the eternity of the Jewish people on the 8th day. Right? Anytime you see the number 8, know that it's talking about eternity. Out of this dimension, out of this time, beyond time, above it. And that's Shmini Atzeret, just Hashem and us. It's reminiscent, 8, Shmini Atzeret, it's reminiscent of what's going to be in the future. If you will, a microcosm of a time that HaKadosh Baruch will be so close to us, it says he will metayel, he'll like take a walk amongst us. He'll be amongst us, and we will not be shaken in fear. There'll be such an intimate closeness. And this is a little glimpse of that that we feel on Shmini Atzeres. Okay. So that's the aspect of Shmini Atzeres. There's a couple questions we like to ask. Number one, there's a halacha that Ein Marvim Simcha B'Simcha. You're not allowed to mix two times of happiness together. You don't mix one simcha with another, right? That's why you cannot get married during the times of Sukkot or Pesach. You don't want to mix one with another, because what you're doing is you're diminishing from each other, right? Each one has to get their own due. So the question is, in Eretz Yisrael, Shmini Atzeres and Simchas Torah are on the same day, which would seem to violate this principle of Ein Marvim Simcha B'Simcha. That's one question. How can that be? And in the Torah, when it talks about the different festivals, so when it gets to Sukkot, it talks about that, and then it says, Vayisa Ach Sameach. Right? So Ach comes to Mamaya to tell us, basically, Ach Sameach to include, says Rashi, Shmini Shulchag, the 8th day, Shmi Atzeres. Ach Sameach, only, that's all you're going to have. In other words, you don't have any mitzvahs associated with it per se. You don't have the four species, you don't have the sukkah anymore. Just Simcha, and it comes to teach you to be in Simcha on the 8th day. Nothing else. Just Shmini Atzeres by itself. I, in Eretz Yisrael, you have Simcha's Torah again. Right? Well, that's the question. How can that be? So, and of course, what we previously said, when we just talked about all the Gemara and the different Chazals that tell us that Shmini Atzeres is representative of just HaKadosh Baruch Hu and us, the intimate relationship. Your parting's hard on me. Stay one more day. Right? And yet again, we mix it with Simchas Torah. All this seems to contradict that. So, I heard from Grossman. He says the following. The truth is, he's not the only one that says this. Many people comment on this. That when we rejoice, just us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? How do we show our simcha? How do we show our happiness? With the Torah. There's no other way. In other words, it's not Ein Marvim Simcha B'Simcha. It's not a steer. It's not a contradiction. You're mixing two simchas. That's gufa how you celebrate with Hashem. That's gufa the special relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and us. What better way to show it than in the Torah, the celebration of the Torah? That's the special marriage between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Mount Sinai. The ultimate, ketuvah, the Torah. That's it. So that's not a contradiction. That's good for how we celebrate. The way a Jew shows that he's Sameach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only through Torah. There's no other way. Okay? So, also we have to understand another interesting concept. Really, one thing that gets by us every year is Yom Kippur. We're so focused, I'll explain, we're so focused on the tshuva concept of Yom Kippur, right? But there's another very historical event that happened on Yom Kippur that directly ties in with tshuva, right? If you remember when we talked about Purim, it always comes back to Purim, doesn't it? And when we talked about any tshuva process, there has to be a reacceptance of the Torah. Remember we said that? Kimu v'kiblu on Purim, right? So historically, what happened on Yom Kippur? Well, we were forgiven for the golden calf. That's how it got set up in the system as a Day of Atonement, right? But you're right. The tablets were destroyed, the first ones, and we got the second tablets. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu went up and he prayed for us, and we went through a whole tshuva process from that golden calf, and our tshuva was accepted on Yom Kippur. That means there has to be a reacceptance of Torah. And sure enough, Yom Kippur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, came down with the second tablets. Right? So it's actually a day of Matan Torah. It's a day akin to Shavuos. It's a day we get the Torah again. As a matter of fact, Or Gedaliah, Rav Gedaliah Shor, the former Rosh Hashiva of Torah Vadas, says that your chelik of Torah, your portion of the Torah, is decided on Yom Kippur. That's how much a day of giving of the Torah it is. So, what do we usually do? What do we do on Shavuos when we celebrate the giving of the Torah? We do what we do, you know, on a Yom Tov. We dress nice clothes, we eat a festive meal, and we celebrate, right? On Yom Kippur, we can't do that, right? Because the concept, the overriding concept of the day is tshuva, right? And therefore, we abstain from the physical world, and we don't partake of food, right? You know, that's the theme of the day. Now, there is this concept on every Yom Tov that's chatzi l'Hashem and chatzi l'chem, that half the day should be spent to Hashem, so to speak, and half to us. In other words, half the day we spend in davening, in service of Hashem, right, the special prayers, right, the special Torah portions, and so forth, right? And the other half of the day, we celebrate more physically. Again, nice clothes, a suda, and so forth, right? So Rabbi Soloveitchik says, Simchas Torah is the Chatzi Lachem of Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a day of giving the Torah. It's a Yom Tov, right? So we should celebrate like every Yom Tov, but we can't because we're abstaining, right, from all the physical things, relations, washing, anointing our body, eating, because it is Yom Kippur, right? So we do the Chatzi Lachem. The whole day we dedicate to Hashem in prayer, right, and serving Him. So the other half of that, of the giving of the Torah, that's Simchas Torah. That day is kulo, that's all for us, that we sing and we dance, right, and we eat festively, right? That's the other half of Yom Kippur. Very interesting concept. Okay? After a sukkos, by the way, after a sukkos, where we learned that our main objective in this world is Torah. That's it. The main purpose of life is Torah. And that's what Sukkot teaches us. We talked about that at length, right? We leave the materialistic bounty and we go into the Sukkah, which represents serving Hashem, doing Torah mitzvahs, right? So with the lesson of Sukkah in hand, then we go with the Sisu, the Simchu, the Simchas Torah, right? With the inner joy, right? The celebration of Simchas Torah, you know, we have to stop and think what we're celebrating here. We're cleansed from our sins, from Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, right? Sukkos, okay, that's impregnated in us, what we're doing in this world, what's our relationship to the physical world, the pleasures of this world, right? We got our mind state, we got our priorities straight. Ah, now, with all those lessons of Rosh Hashanah, right, Yom Kippur, and we're cleansed, now when we cleanse, now we understand what our main goal in life is. What do we do with the materialism? What's our main joy in this world? We dwell in the sukkah, right? Ah, now we go and celebrate Simchas Torah, right? With the right frame of mind, understanding why am I celebrating? What am I doing? What am I dancing? I mean, this is what we got to ask ourselves. When you're out there and you're dancing, right, and you're singing and you're rejoicing on Simchas Torah, you got to ask yourself why. What are you celebrating? What are we celebrating? What are we doing out there? Right? We're celebrating that we're Yidden, that we're Jews, and we have the Torah, and we have the mitzvahs. Right? And there's no greater wealth than that. Right? That's the greatest joy a person has. That's what makes our life worth living. Forget about the next world. We can't, you know, yeah, we have the spiritual bliss of the next one, we have eternity, we can't relate to those things, right? That's for sure. But this world, Olam Hazeh, we enjoy more, right? We're not walking around mindless like those people out there. I don't know what they're doing. You know, I don't have any tranquility of mind at all. They're on drugs, or maybe that's how they have tranquility. All right. So that's not us. We know where we're headed. We have a God. We have a mission. We have a tachlis, a purpose in the world. And the Torah is that guide. And that's what we're rejoicing. We're rejoicing the Kodesh Baruch who chose us, gave us the Torah. Right? There's no greater joy than that. See some simcha b'simchas Torah. That's what you got to think about when you're out there celebrating on simchas Torah. That's the joy. That's the ultimate happiness in life. To know that you have a Gott in the Welt. And that He's watching over you and taking care of you and guiding you, right? And you're working for something. You have a mamish. Everything you do is important, even in the physical world. You're makadosh that. That's the idea. That's the idea of Simchas Torah. Okay. The truth is, we're spoiled. Just want to tell you that. That's all. Thank you very much. See you next week. Truth is, well, we are. I mean, the fact is, why is it, you know, I'm telling you all this, and you know how many times I've repeated this, because this is the avoida of life, and this is the avoida of the exile. That's my mission we have to work on. We have to put it in the bones, guys, why we're here, and what should make us happy in life. And that's why it has to be reiterated over and over again. That's the whole battle, constant battle between the neshama and the goof, between the spiritual and the physical. Right? We have to find out where our Ikar Simcha is. So, and the problem is on Simcha's Torah, you gotta think beforehand. If you think beforehand, you know, what really is important to you, and you really think into it, then you can go into a Simcha's Torah with such joy, and you can serve Hashem dancing on Simcha's Torah, and get more out of it, and serve Hashem higher than a Yom Kippur. You know, Rav Esses used to go to Russia back when the communism, was existing over there. And you had to sneak Sforim in there, and, you know, and they did everything in secret. And he talks about what's it like to try to get a group like this to learn Torah. Right? Look how frum you guys are. All the ladies over here. So he talks about this, and he says, you know, what happens? First of all, there's no announcement. There's no Beth Jacob bulletin, you know, telling you there's going to be a shear. What happens? They find out word of mouth that they're going to meet late one night in someone's basement. You know, and they make a signal, a code, knocking on the door. This is how they do, you know. And they meet there, and they learn. You know, mamish by candlelight, so no one will see them. So what happens? Someone gets interested in becoming a ball chew. Someone gets interested in Yiddishkeit. They don't know anything, and they want to learn. So they start going to the class. So he describes what happens. Well, first thing that happens is the next day, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the KGB goes up to this guy. And he says, you know, you're a nice fella. We like you. But lately we've noticed that you've been hanging around people that, well, they're enemies of the state. And, you know, we really like you, and we don't think it's a good idea you hang around those people. You know what I mean? So, this guy ignores him. I just want to show you this example of the Mesiris Nefesh, the self-sacrifice in Russian Jewry, to learn. So he ignores him, and he keeps going to the classes. A few days later, KGB approaches him again, and says, you know, you have a pretty nice job. And, you know, like we told you the other day, we really like you, but if you keep hanging around these people, I just don't know if you'll still have that job. And the guy ignores him, and he keeps going to the classes. A few days later, they approach him again, and they say, you know, we've talked to you a couple times. By the way, have you ever wondered why your children, when they come home from school, they always arrive safely at your house? You ever wonder that? It's because we watch over them. We make sure they're not mugged or molested in any way. But you know, if you keep hanging around these type of people, I can't guarantee you that we'll watch over your children anymore. And so forth and so on. This is real. They're in prison. They're sent to Siberia. This is real stuff that used to happen every day there. So, you know, you listen to this story, and it's absolutely amazing. I mean, the self-sacrifice that they would do to learn Torah. You know, I went to yeshiva. I lived in Israel. I'm supposed to be, you know, trained to know that Torah is the most important thing there is, and to be able to willingly give up anything for it. But you know, when I listen to that story, I just wonder if any of us would be able to do the same thing. I mean, when they approach us the first time, they tell us, you know, they don't like it. You know, peer pressure. So on my side, I guess most of us could withstand that. Right? But then they threaten us with our jobs, and losing a job in Russia, it doesn't mean, you understand, it means you don't eat. It doesn't mean you find another job next day. I think that's where most of us would crack. You know, taking away the food out of our mouths. But let's say we're all tzaddikim. Yeah, we're all tzaddikim, and we withstand that test. Right? Okay, we'll get fired. Fine. But when they start threatening our kids, I mean, that's it. Right? There's no way. When they start threatening our kids, you know, oh. But these people do it. And they continually used to learn late at night, knowing they were being watched, knowing they were being threatened, having no idea what the consequences might be. Why is that? What is it that Russian Jewry has over you and I? I'll tell you what they have. It's what they don't have. We're spoiled. We're mama spoiled. We can learn whatever we want, and we simply don't appreciate it because we have it. That's what it is. You know, it's like air. You take it for granted when you have it. It's no problem. But Khalila, I have an aunt that just passed away. Her lungs was full of water. You know, so you get on that respirator, that first breath of air. If you've ever been underwater, right, looking for some, whatever it is, you know, and you start feeling the lungs ache, you know, and you get up there, finally to the surface of the water, and you get that first gasp of air. Oh, it feels good. You don't take it for granted. You appreciate it. Torah is the oxygen of the neshama. That's what it is. When you have it, you take it for granted. You don't appreciate it. It keeps you going. It's automatic. Automatic pilot. But when it's taken away from you, like with Russian Jewry, you do anything possible to get it back. You gotta have it. You gotta have that air to survive. You gotta have to sustain the neshama. And that's what they have. When it's taken away, when you have a pogrom, when you have a ghetto, when they tell you, do, and they don't let you do things, then you start looking into it. What does it mean to be a Jew? What does it mean? Torah, where's my neshama? It starts, and you search for it, and you appreciate it, and you get a geschmack in it. Right? And our problem is, everything comes too easy. We can learn whatever we want, whenever we want. So we forget how valuable it is to us. The Or HaChaim, of course, we said in today's Parsha, he talks about if a person really felt the zeis, the sweetness of the Torah, he wouldn't sleep, he wouldn't eat. That's all he'd be doing. He'd be chasing after the Torah all day long. But that's part of being in exile. Part of being in exile is not feeling the beautiful, the zeiskeit of the Torah and the mitzvahs and serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's part of the Hester Ponim, God's hidden face. That's our test. That's why we can earn such great reward of any little efforts that we do. That's part of being in the exile. That's the avoda of the exile. So I know what you guys are saying. It's hard. It's schwer. You know, you try to go to classes, you try to learn, you try to grow, but you don't feel like anything's happening. And you get down. You get really down. I want you to know Kodesh Baruch Hu knows the score. Rav Huttner used to be the Rosh Yeshiva of Torah Vadas. And he writes about what makes the Jewish people great. The verse in Mishlei and Proverbs says, Sheva Yipol Tzadik V'kam. You know what a tzaddik is? A tzaddik is not necessarily one who never sins. But a tzaddik is someone who does sin. He sins, but he gets back up. That's what a tzaddik does. Sheva Yipol, he falls seven times and gets back up. A student wrote Rav Hunter, he wrote a letter to Rav Hunter that every one of us can relate to. Everyone feels like this student. He says, starts complaining about his lack of spiritual growth. He says, I'm tired. What's the use? I don't see any spiritual growth. I don't see myself getting any better. I'll just be satisfied who I am, what I'm doing. It's such a struggle. What's the use? So Rav Hunter writes him back. He writes him back this message. Don't give up. A tzaddik falls seven times and gets back up. And that's precisely what it's all about. What it's all about is the battles. That's what's beloved to Hashem. The struggles, the doubts, the fact that you're so tired, the fact that you don't see anything. You remember Avram Avinu even, when he was doing a Kedesh Yitzchak. It says, Vayar Samakom Mirachok. He saw the place, Hamakom's a name for Kadosh Baruch Hu, from a distance. He was trying to do the ultimate will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem seemed so distant from him. He didn't see the closeness of Hashem. I'm trying to do your will, but I just don't feel like you're close to me. That's Avram Avinu. That's what we all feel in our struggle and our growth. But we have to know that Dafka, what gives Hashem nachas, if you will, is the fact that that we don't give up. That's our test. That's the bottom line, guys. The bottom line is, forget the Torah and mitzvah, so to speak. The bottom line is don't give up. Fall, you're going to get scraped, right? You're going to stumble, but get back up. Yeah, like they say, lose the battle, but win the wars. That's what we got to conquer. There's going to be ups and downs in Yiddishkeit. This is what Simchas Torah is all about. Listen to what I'm telling you. Rav Hunter complains, you read about the stories of great tzaddikim. So, start reading these stories. You ever read these stories, these biographies? They're beautiful. They're beautiful, but, like Chafetz Chaim or the Shagas Arya, Rabbi Akiva Eger, he said shakol when he was breastfeeding from his mother, right? He did Degel Vasser at 3. He, was saying brachas at 5. He knew all the Talmud at 10. He never fought with his brothers. He never even fought with his sisters. Right? So you think, it's great. The guy's not normal. He's an angel. I'm not an angel. It just makes you feel worse. So Rav Hunter says, that's not the whole story. That's not the whole story. He says these people, like the Chafetz Chaim, you think the Chafetz Chaim never failed? He never made a mistake? He says, these great rabbis, they had their struggles, they had their battles in their own realms that they had to overcome. And the Chafetz Chaim, the Shagas Arya, and all these people, they fell, they stumbled, but what made them great is they got back up, and they kept going. The Ibn Ezra, one of the greatest sages, scholars, writes a brilliant commentary on the Torah, right? But in his time, his parish, his commentary on the Torah wasn't accepted. No one could identify with it. It didn't become popular for some reason. And then he went into business and he failed. He went into another business. A big tzaddik. Everything he went into failed. In fact, he says his mazel is so bad that if he became a shroud salesman, the angel of death would go on vacation. But he kept going. He kept trying. Hang on, I'm going to turn over. Okay. That, by the way, my friends, is what tshuva is all about. That's what tshuva is all about. The whole concept of tshuva means don't give up. What you did, what you failed, and don't give up. Just keep going. Okay? We mentioned that Sukkot is a celebration of the clouds returning, that Hashem reaccepted us. And Simchas Torah is the climax of that. That Hashem, there's this bond between us. No matter how much we fall and how much we sin, if we have a desire to come back and re-accept the Torah, that's what it's all about. Simchas Torah. Hashem reaccepts us. So that's what we're celebrating on Simchas Torah. We're celebrating that we're Yidden, we don't give up, we always have a connection to Hashem, and we always have the ability to come back to the Torah. And that Torah is our boat in this stormy sea of exile. We can always go on it. We can always find, navigate our way through here. It's always there for us, no matter how many times we fall. Says Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev used to say, there's three things you can learn from a baby. Says when something hurts a baby, he cries out to his father. He says, babies, you know, toddlers, they're always busy. And he says, when a baby falls, he gets back up. A tzaddik falls 7 times and gets back up. I want you to know that this is the hallmark of the nation of Israel. We're a nation that continually gets back up. Nobody has survived any one of the pogroms, the Holocaust inquisitions that we have, and is still around to talk about it. The prophet, the Navi, calls us Am Sridei Cherev. We're a nation that survives the sword. We're survivors, like a cat. Throw a cat, right? Lands on its feet. That's us. That's the Jewish people. That's every one of you. Every one of you is a walking miracle. Every one of us in this room learning Torah in America. So we can be pushed down, we can stumble, and we can fall, but not for long. Intrinsically, that's us. We get back up. As a matter of fact, there's a verse that we discussed in the Parsha of Balak, and in the Gemara in Brachas says this verse they wanted to put in Kriya Shema. They wanted to put in the Shema. The verse is, Hen am kelav yakum. We're a nation that rises back up like a lion. The pagan prophet, Bilam, said that about us. This is a nation that gets back up like a lion. So they ask, why? What's so special about Parshas Balak, this verse in particular, that the sages want to put this in the Shema? Hen am kelav yakum. He says, because for the first time ever, Bilam got something right. He tightened us up. He gave the definition of what Israel's all about. He defined us. We're a nation that gets back up like a lion. We're never down for long. That's the proudest character trait of the Jewish people. That's our definition. That's what we're all about. We arise, a phoenix, out of the ashes. That's us. That's our generation, guys. That's all of you. We're all survivors of the Holocaust, or survivors of survivors, or mental survivors, or emotional scarred survivors, whatever it is. We're back. Stronger than ever. It's a miracle. That's the celebration of Simchas Torah. That's what you're celebrating. The eternity of Israel. That the Torah, as long as we're connected to the Torah, we're always going to be around. They can never destroy us. They can push us down, but not for long. We'll be right back up. Like a lion. You know, stories told in the Holocaust. Eichmann, yimach shmo, in the concentration camp in Treblinka, he went ahead and took a pareichus. You know, the curtain that goes over the Aron Kodesh? It's called a pareichus. And he took it off an Aron Kodesh of the shul, and he put it over the entrance to one of the gas chambers. And on it was written, Ze Ashar Lashem Tzadikim Yavoba. This is the gate to God. Tzadikim will go through it. And he's trying to, you know, he meant it as a mockery. You understand? A mockery, Chas Shalom of Hashem. A mockery of human beings. A mockery of the Jewish people. A mockery of anything beyond the realm of the physical world. But you know something? He was right. The Jews that went through that parochus, they became tzaddikim. And you want to know something else? I'll tell you something else. Eichmann and the Nazis, yimach shemam, are long gone. But we put back up that pareichus. The pareichus is still there. It's still hanging there. In more shuls, in more base medrash, in more yeshivas than ever before. That's the Jewish people. That's Yidden. We rose back up like a lion. That's the hallmark of the nation of Israel. We're indestructible. You can't destroy the Jew. If he's locked into Torah, he's locked into HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can't beat us. Zok the Medrash Tanchuma says Yidden can be sleeping. They can go for years and years without mitzvahs. And then all of a sudden, they can get up like a lion and change. We're a nation that gets up, a nation that can't be beaten, a nation of survivors. And it's that trait, that ability to get back up, to reconnect, tshuva, to return to our essence, to the Torah, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's that ability of why you and me are here today in this class, having a shiur, learning Torah, talking about how and why we're going to celebrate a Simchas Torah. We're going to celebrate a Simchas Torah because we realize that is our life. That is what keeps us going. That's our eternity. All the other nations, they can do whatever they want to us. They can counsel, they can talk. It ain't gonna work. Garnish Elfin. As long as we're locked into Torah, we're locked into a Kaddish Baruch Hu. That's our celebration. That's our celebration of Simchas Torah. We're dancing and we're singing and we're celebrating that we're Yidden. We have the Torah. We're indestructible. We're not worried. Yes, we pray. We're concerned. Bombings. Different things that are going on in Eretz Yisrael, we're concerned, but we know there's a Shomer Yisrael, there's a Watcher of Israel, and it's all going to end up, we're never going to be eliminated. It's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. The Jewish people will always be here. We worry about individual Jews. True, they could get lost on the way, but the Jewish nation, we're here. And that's the celebration. That's Simchas Torah. The Torah is what makes us an eternal nation. So I'm telling you, each one of you, and I'm talking to myself with my black hat, right? Okay? That we're going to have struggles in Yiddishkeit, and we're all trying to get stronger, and we all want to feel, and deep inside, the essence, the Pintelilian, and every one of us crying out, we want to feel Torah and mitzvahs, and we want to do your will. And we fetch over it. I know we all feel bad about it. And even when we don't have a desire, we wish we had a desire. Or a desire to have a desire. But that's part of it. That's what makes our service so beloved to Hashem. He knows the score. We're in a time of exile. The ultimate exile. We don't have a base of Mikdash. We don't have our prophets. Right? We don't have our great Rebbeim. But we got one thing. We got this little muggin of Roham, says the Chiddush Yerim in every one of us. The shield of Avraham, the pencil of Yid in every one of us. That no matter how many times we fall and we scrape ourselves and we want to give up, right? We get back up. We get back up like a lion and we continually try to serve you, Hashem, and try to do your will. And that's what it's all about. Just not giving up. Keep going. A little bit's good also. And Shem Yazor. That's the celebration, my friends, of Simchas Torah. That's what you have to keep in mind. When you're out there and you're dancing, you have to think about these things. Why am I happy? Why am I celebrating? Simchas Torah is the spitz. That's it. That's, you know, the whole build-up, guys. From Elulzman, the 30 days, getting ready for Rosh Hashanah Yom HaDin. The 10 days of repentance, the tshuva process, the breaking inside, the crying, the kvetching, right, of Yom Kippur. The sukkahs, the simcha of sukkahs, again the priority straight, and then the climax, the spitz, simchas Torah, that's it, I got it all done, I'm clean, I'm going to start over again, a fresh start, I struggled, I failed, I fell down this past year, I scraped myself, but it's simchas Torah, it's time to recommit to the Torah, a new start, we start reading the Torah again, no coincidence, brand new start. Recommitment. We can do it. Just can't give up. That's what it's about. Questions. Other things. Nine, like Tisha B'Av, which is it's a tremendous secret of Tisha B'Av. Okay, A, Shmini Atzeret and Simchas Torah, but you want to know what nine is? Nine, Tisha B'Av. 9, Tishbav, the destruction of the temples, but 9 is Emes. In small numerical gematria, Emes, Aleph is 1, Mem is 4, and the Taf is 4, 400. That's 9. 9 is the only number, as you know, no matter what you do to it, always adds up back to 9, right? 9 times 9 is 81, but 8 plus 1 is 9, right? 9 times 6 is 54, 5 plus 4 is 9, right? So 9 is eternity. It's a concept of being indestructible. Tishbav, the ninth day of Av that the temples were destroyed, is to tell you that it's not destroyed. It's still there. It's going to come back down. It's just got taken off of this earth. Okay, but 9 is a very important concept. And 10 is also, I'm from the mouth of babes. How do we get back up? We get back up after we fall by praying to Hashem to give us strength. That he knows, he's like a Tati, an Abba, a father who loves us more than we love ourselves. And he'll help us back up. If we really want to get back up, he'll help us. We pray to him to strengthen us every day, to help us and show us the right way, what to do. That's how we get back up. And we'll fall down again probably. But it doesn't matter. As long as we continually pray to Hashem to give us strength, we can always get back up. That's a beautiful thought, Mrs. Cortell. Just Tisha B'Av, we're talking about being beaten, being defeated, or it looks like we're never defeated. We're put down temporarily, and Tisha B'Av represents that. The Inquisition, the Holocaust, the destruction of the temples, all in Tisha B'Av. It's going to be the ultimate Moed. It's going to be the ultimate Moed, because the fact that the more afflictions the Jewish people have, and they survive it, then that's going to be the ultimate celebration. It shows the glory of Hashem, how much He watched over us, His love for us. And Tisha B'Av, it really looks like they got us. And we're going to see that's the ultimate celebration. It's going to be the ultimate holiday, showing the indestructibility of the Jewish people. Whenever you have, this idea of just us and Hashem, Tisha B'Av, no mitzvahs per se, Shmini Atzeres, right? It shows you don't need anything else. The intrinsic bond of just a Kadosh Baruch Hu and us, there's nothing more. You don't need anything else. But until we get to that stage, we need symbols. We need mitzvahs. But Shmini Atzeres, that's why it's Shmini. That's why it's 8. It's above that.
Parts of the latter half of this tape were borrowed from a tape from Rav Yisachar Fran of Ne'er Yisrael.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.